Hey, what's going on, guys? Today we'll be talking about Act 3 of Julius Caesar.
Act 3 starts off right after Caesar has been betrayed and assassinated by his so-called friends.
Antony has just convinced the conspirators to allow him to give Caesar a proper funeral.
I think the conspirators weren't very smart in their approach to keep the Romans on their side of things.
Right.
So what's your opinion on the conspirators' plot against Caesar?
I don't think it was very smart because, simply, there was not much of a point overall of what they did because in the end of Act 3, they only ended up getting betrayed by the Romans, who they had already thought they had won over and weren't very smart in that.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a dumb decision by Brutus to let Antony live. Back in scene one, when Cassius told Brutus to kill Antony, but Brutus refused.
Brutus, I think, should have gone along with Cassius to kill Antony. Had he done so, none of the extra stuff would have happened, and they probably would have gotten to rule Rome.
It was definitely an ill-advised decision, I'll tell you that right now. Romans. Can't deal with them, can you?
Right.
Alligator theme song. In the beginning of Act 3, Scene 1 shows us the plot to kill Caesar has begun. Caesar begins by saying the ideas of March have come, but is soon reminded by the soothsayer that they aren't gone either.
Artemidorus tries his hardest to get Caesar to read his message, but fails due to the conspirators. Hold on, Caesar. Next, Cassius believes they know of the plot because of something Papilius said.
Cassius is reassured, and the plan begins. Trebonius leads Antony away as Caesar runs to the conspirators.
Metellus distracts Caesar with his constant plea of wanting his brother freed, and Caesar is stabbed in the back by Casca and then killed by the rest of the conspirators. Brutus's betrayal surprised him the most, especially when Caesar said, "E tu, Brute."
After the death of Caesar, the conspirators cry out peace, freedom, and liberty, and they watch themselves in the blood of Caesar.
Antony comes in after sending a servant to guarantee his safety and asks Brutus if he can speak at Caesar's funeral to honor Caesar.
Cassius advises Brutus that this is a bad move, but Brutus agrees to let Antony speak. Antony marks them all for revenge with the shake of his hand and the fake promise of his love.
Brutus allows Antony to speak only if he can first explain to Rome why Caesar had to die. They agree, and then everyone exits except Antony, which I believe isn't very smart, because that ended up causing the downfall of Brutus and Cassius and the conspirators.
The end of the scene shows Antony over Caesar's body, declaring to the Caesar that he will avenge his death against the monsters.
Antony plans to send for Octavius Caesar and tell him what happened after he speaks at Caesar's funeral, and him and Octavius' servant exit with Caesar's body, and that is the end of scene one.
So basically, scene two starts off with Caesar's funeral. Brutus is the first to give a speech about how what they did was right.
Okay, and then Brutus has all of Rome turned to the side of the conspirators, right?
Yeah.
Then Mark Antony comes in carrying Caesar's dead body with multiple stab wounds, right?
Yes, and starts giving his side of the story once Brutus leaves. But does it in kind of a unnoticeable way, right?
Yeah, I think he was scared. of them, so he decided to tell the Romans that way.
Nah, I'm pretty sure he planned it all out. These Romans are tricky. Might want to be careful there. Old Anthony is one sharp cookie, eh? But pretends to be a jockey that loves to have fun and party with his friends.
He did it out of wisdom, and it worked in my point of view. Because Cassius and Brutus both had to leave Rome on their horses as soon as Antony's speech was over.
Due to the fact that
that all the Romans were fixing to kill them had they not fled.
Yeah, they weren't very smart with their approach. Or with Antony, were they?
No, they weren't at all. Then once Antony gets done with his speech, all of the Romans mourn for Caesar and plan to attack the conspirators.
Which is pretty ridiculous considering that they were just cheering the conspirators on.
Yeah, and then Cassius and Brutus flee the city learning that they're in grave danger, all because Antony called them honorable men.
Yeah, that scene really sets the rest of the play into action, doesn't it?
Sure enough, and that's how the scene ends. Last scene of Act 3, Cinna the poet enters, being chased by the plebeians.
Cinna recites a poem at the beginning, followed by questions from the four plebeians.
Cinna answers their questions just like they asked, but they don't believe him because they believe he is a conspirator.
The first plebeian instructs the others to tear him to pieces, but Cinna tries hard to convince them.
It doesn't work for Cinna, even though he said he was Cinna the poet, not the conspirator.
The final scene of Act 3 ends with the plebeians talking about killing Brutus and Cassius and the other conspirators, while dragging Cinna's body away, all torn to bits. Act 3 is full of mood changes from everyone, from Antony, the conspirators, and even Roman citizens.
There are also four elements of Shakespearean tragedy in Act 3.
Yes, there are. I believe that the main one that plays out in this act, though, is the dramatic irony.
I do too. The conspirators thought that they could get away with the betrayal and murder of Caesar just by simply talking to the Roman citizens, persuading them, and then just leaving, allowing Antony to speak as he pleases.
That wasn't very smart on their part, and ended up causing their downfall, I think.
Another Shakespearean tragedy element in Act 3 is thinking of the conspirators and the ways that they thought would work in persuading the Romans that what they did was right.
Yes, the ways that they thought their plan would work are the ways some people even think today. Maybe it even gave people ideas on how they might accomplish some of their goals in life.
I can understand that, but the ways that they thought in their plan really didn't work out for them. I think it actually began their downfall, because once Brutus left Antony to speak to Rome, they had fled their country due to Antony being smart and turning Rome against the conspirators.
Agreed. I think if they would have thought it out more carefully and listened to Cassius about killing Antony as well, the story would have ended after the deaths of Antony and Caesar, instead of the conspirators deciding to leave Antony alive. A third Shakespearean tragedy in Act 3 was Caesar's fate. The death of Caesar is what has caused all of the chaos for Rome and the conspirators.
Yes, had the conspirators never decided to betray their friend, all of the things that went wrong for the conspirators in the Act 3 would have been all well, because Caesar had already trusted him with his life, which actually ended up costing him his life.
Brutus claimed that it was Caesar's ambition that caused them to do what they did. I don't think that this is true, because Caesar proved multiple times that he was not ambitious. The first was when he denied the crown 3 times in front of the entire country of Rome. If Caesar was ambitious, he would have accepted the crown the first time it was offered.
And a second was when his people were in bad times, he wept along with them. There's nothing about that ambitious.
Yes, but the third was probably the thing that proved him even less ambitious than the other two. Caesar was to stay at home the morning of his death simply because his wife, Calpurnia, wanted him to. If Caesar was really ambitious, like Brutus said he was, then he would have left without even thinking about what his wife thought of the matter.
Yeah, and the fourth and final element of Shakespearean tragedy was the contrast in thoughts, or in the thoughts of both Brutus and Cassius.
Brutus thinks so differently from Cassius. He trusts too many people that could cost them at too high of a price for the conspirators to pay.
Yeah, and Cassius thought in a way that definitely gave the conspirators a better chance of succeeding than Brutus did.
If Brutus would have listened to Cassius when he said that they should kill Antony, the conspirators probably would have succeeded in the overthrow of Caesar and taking control of Rome.
Cassius was the smartest one out of all of the conspirators, in my opinion.
Agreed. If Cassius was declared the leader out of the conspirators instead of Brutus, once again, the conspirators would have more than likely succeeded. So, in Act 3, pretty much Act 3, begins the rising action of the play. Also, had none of these events occurred in Act 3, the play and story itself would not have ended up the way it did with Octavius Caesar beginning his rule as King of Rome.